So this is Endora. I'm going to ask, how long have you been coming to FCBC for?
I've been here since 2013, and that was the year that I graduated from college. So you're aware, I did go to Mount SAC for 2 years, and then I transferred to UCLA. I studied psych there. And then I came to FCBC after hearing from some friends who went to AACF at UCLA that this was their home church, and my parents were here in Chino Hills, and I didn't have a home church then. I'm a pastor's kid. My parents are both in ministry, but I didn't find a church community. But I did find it at UCLA. I went to Lighthouse Community Church in Torrance, but knew I could not commute from Chino Hills to Torrance every Sunday. So, yeah, I've been here since 2013, so over a decade now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess, what did you study in college, and what do you do now? Or I guess you said you studied psych, so yeah. What do you do now for work?
Okay, so whenever you get a job in the future, you're going to be interacting with me. I'm in HR. That stands for Human Resources. I do a little bit of everything. I do the onboarding. I manage the benefits. So if you have questions about health insurance, if you have problems, that's when people come to HR. The least favorite part of my job is I do fire people. So I do terminations.
That
Yeah, I don't like that part of my job, but it's necessary. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess since everyone shared about what they're good at doing or like to do, what do you like to
what
do?
What do I like to do? Okay, so I really enjoy baking. Some of you know I have like kind of a side hustle or just side, you know, hobby, which is baking cookies. And it started actually during COVID, part of my story, but it's called Persevere Enjoy Bakes. And I will be at the mini market shop next week, so come out and support us. And then the other thing is I really enjoy working out with people. Sometimes myself, but enjoy working out with people. And lately I've been into MMA, which has been really fun.
Does everyone know what that is?
Yeah. Yes. You can blame some of the college students for getting me into that. So I really enjoy that, but I also enjoy any other sports. Weightlifting is also my usual hobby too. I'm not that good, okay?
Hey, Brad, you're doing it.
I have to do it to enjoy the cookies, right?
So you want to share your handle for your baking?
Oh, Persevere Enjoy Bakes. Yeah, that's my handle. Yes. I'm inconsistent with posting, though. But sometimes I post.
Yeah.
That photo was actually taken by Erin, so thank you.
Oh, it's a good pick. Okay. So there was a question on one of the posters. I told Endora first, I was like, I'm going to ask you this. It was, what are the pros of being single?
Yeah, I really like that question. That sounds like a curse, right, to a lot of you maybe. And for me, I would say the longest time, I didn't want to be single. Full disclosure, I'm in my early 30s now, and I'm still single. And I didn't intend to be single, because actually I was in a long-term relationship for a number of years, and I actually got to the point where we were supposed to get engaged. We had planned a wedding, and this was right before COVID, and so I was already planning my wedding and thought the next step was just the proposal. That's what I was waiting for. And through a turn of events, and I would say by God's sovereignty, we didn't end up getting engaged. We ended up breaking up, which was out of the blue. So what I tell people is God changed the trajectory of my life. And I think for a lot of the women I'm going to speak to, because a lot of us in our minds, maybe it's from K-dramas, I'm a K-drama watcher, not as much anymore, but, you know, or like you read romance novels or whatever, growing up, you think to yourself, I need to be married before 30. And actually, when I was about to be engaged, I was about to turn 30, like the following year. And so I was like, okay, well, this is aligned with my goals for my life. Like, this is part of Endora's plan. It's like to get married and then to start have kids. And really, I think what it is the American dream. But God broke that. And I would say that right now, because God has changed the trajectory of my life, the version of Endora now is a version I never expected, but I like this version better. And honestly, I don't even think I would be sitting here with you guys. I don't think the people I've met, the relationships that deepened, the God that I know and my relationship with God would not have deepened if I didn't go through that hardest, like, suffering of that time. Because, like I said, it was right before COVID. Everyone was expecting us to get married. It was a death. It was a sudden death, a traumatic death, but it was necessary for my own sanctification, for my growth. So going back to the question of, you know, the pros of being single, I think you have a lot of time. I mean, when you are, you know, married, you have time too to serve. But in singleness, I think that's why Paul is like, hey, if you can be single as I am, you know, you can do a lot. I have spontaneity, so I can literally invite anyone over to my place, or I can say, hey, I'm down to go and work out with you, or I'm down to bake cookies with you. I have that flexibility without having to ask someone. And I think also it's a time for me to be intentional with the relationships that I have. Not saying that you can't do that when you're married or in your relationship, but you're like single-minded focus is to serve others or to be discipled. And I really love this season. I think God has placed a lot of people in my life. Even me getting connected to Obria was a godsend because, God formed that relationship. And so many of you, even me serving in TURF now, which is the college ministry, I don't think I would have done it if I didn't go through what I went through.
I guess because my following question was, can you share with us a time where you experienced anxiety or depression? Yeah. Like, would that have been one of those experiences?
I would say so, for sure. That's probably the time in my life. And you have to remember, like, I'm already a professing Christian at this point in my life. I love some of the questions on loneliness and depression. So I'm going to also back up the story a little bit. But right before that breakup, I actually lost my best friend in a sudden car accident. She was maybe about 27 years old. She was also about to be engaged. And I was in Taiwan, and I remember thinking, when I got the news that she was in a car accident, I was like, okay, well, she's just going to wake up. You know, I'm going to pray, she's going to wake up. Prayed really hard the next morning, and because of the time zone difference, the next news I got was that she was in a coma, and she wasn't waking up, and basically they were going to test to see if she was in a vegetative state. And she was. So I had two back-to-back events in my life, so 2019 and 2020, where I lost people I loved. And that was when my faith was shaken, because God didn't answer my prayers. God didn't answer my prayers in the way that I thought he would answer. I thought he could resurrect my friend. He did not. Instead, she's with Jesus, and sometimes to this day, I'm like pretty envious that she's already there. And I think the depression, though, didn't really hit me until the second one, when I lost, my ex. And I was like, oh, I lost two people I really loved and people that really knew me. And then I had to wrestle with the fact, God, are you good? God, are you going to be there for me? Because there were times initially, in the initial, like, just the shock, the processing, I couldn't eat, and I love food, okay? I love food. I tell people I live to eat as a joke. Maybe a slight truth. And I think it was a time where I needed the church to support me. Because there were some days I didn't want to wake up. And that's not like to say that I was like suicidal or anything like that, but I think it was just that I lost my reason to live for a little bit. I was not expecting to cry. But you know, I think it was in those hard moments that God's word was like my lifeline. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but even though I didn't understand what was happening, I still believe that God was true, that God loved me, and that he had the best plan for me. And the reason why I think I clung to that truth was because I'm going to back up to college. And actually this season, the high school is like the 12th, 11th, 12th grade. I'm going to back up because God revealed himself to me then. My dream school for the longest time was UCLA. I wanted to be a Bruin. That was my dream school. And I remember senior year, I got my letters from every college that I applied to, which wasn't many because UCLA was number one. I didn't apply to many colleges. I didn't have a plan B. My plan A was UCLA. I got rejected. And I remember that was the time when I had to wrestle with my faith. And long story short, you know, I shared in the beginning of my intro, I did get into UCLA, but it was after going to community college, which was not my plan A. It was plan B. And through a turn of events, like, that was where God also strengthened my faith, showed me that, and Laura, you need to surrender your life. Like, If you say you trust me, if you say that I am Lord, then surrender. And so fast forward to a decade later when I'm struggling with, okay, well, my best friend just died, and suddenly I'm not getting married. God, how are you still good? I had to reflect back on his goodness in my life. And what also was really helpful was the Psalms, singing hymns, and also reading a lot of biographies of people who have suffered. And I'm talking about serious suffering. I mean, I guess, you know, everyone has suffering. And I think just like the saints, you know, I've read Elizabeth Elliot's story. She lost her husband, Jim Elliot. He's a famous missionary. He was murdered overseas by the people that they wanted to share the gospel with. I read a story by, and I bought the book, Manitha Rendell Risner. It's called Walking Through Fire, Memoir of Loss and Redemption. And she's gone through a lot in her life. She's suffered a lot. And I think these people who wrestle with this question of, like, is God good? Does my suffering matter? Helps me a lot. So in all of this, I think to say that it's the weirdest thing to say this now, looking back, because I would have never wished my story on anybody. I don't think I would have even, you know, I remember losing my best friend, and I had told my ex, like, I don't think I can lose you. But yet I did. And when I did, though, I think when I was at the bottom and I saw in the valley, like in the deepest valley, like God sometimes doesn't want you to just get over it. He wants to walk with you through it. Okay? And it's in like that walking through the valley that you realize that God is your shepherd and he's never going to let you fail. I can't give you like all the details because it's blurry now. But through that season, that hazy season of like, yeah, I was in sorrow, deep sorrow. There's just some things that I prayed for that God would answer. Like if I was thinking like, God, I don't really want to wake up today and I'm lonely, I would get a text from a friend that was like, how are you doing? And it was like, wow, that God put my name like in their thoughts to want to like reach out to me. Like God cares for me. I had people like dropping off food for me like during that time. And just like actually wanting to spend time with me. And actually, some of you maybe mentioned you'd like playing games and board games. I wasn't a board game person, but then it was through that season I also discovered my favorite board game, which is Wingspan. And I mean, just like learning to like live life together. And actually the friendships that he brought, like deepening those relationships too. And seeing the beauty of like the family of God. Like nobody needs to necessarily go through like a, you know, almost a broken engagement or like a death of a friend to know how to comfort one another. And how to, I think, share like seasons of sorrow and joy together. And then another person whose story that I really resonate with, and his name is Tim Challies. He's one of my favorite Christian writers and bloggers. He's been in the industry for a long time. He lost his son suddenly. His son was in college, and he suddenly lost his son about a month after my breakup. And I think his writings were just so apt for what I was going through too. Like every day, every time I got a blog post, I just felt like God was speaking to me through his blog post because it was the same wrestlings that I had. I highly recommend this book too. It's called Seasons of Sorrow, The Pain of Loss and the Comfort of God. And I have a lot more books that I brought here because that was also another, I think, joy of like singleness, but also joy of going through that is and some of you mentioned love reading. Reading is great. Reading is when it's different from just like scrolling on your phone and like reading articles, but reading is when you get to wrestle with and have kind of a dialogue with the author, and you can even talk to people from like hundreds of years ago. Like C.S. Lewis was another great example. C.S. Lewis wrote a book. I know maybe he's famous for The Chronicles of Narnia, but I really loved his short book on A Grief Observed. I don't know if you know that C.S. Lewis got married in his late age. He got married and he lost his wife. And he like really wrestled with God. And it was a short book, but it also really comforted me. And another book I did not get a chance to bring because I think I lent it to someone is by Tim Keller. It's called also about suffering. Walking Through Suffering, I think this is the title. And he, from a theological standpoint and a doctrinal standpoint, if you're questioning suffering, like all these questions, so many people have wrestled through millennia of the Christian faith. Like, what does it mean to suffer? What does it mean to follow Christ? It's called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. So, I'll stop there. I'm rambling.
No.
I think Andora shared a lot about her experiences, and I think she touched on some of these topics of, like, love, loss, loneliness, some depression. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of want to give you a sec to, like, let that sink in and think about your own life. If anything that she said kind of resonated or hit you in a certain way, and let that sit and see if there's any questions that have come up that you'd want to follow up with Andora.
I want to actually, while you guys are thinking, I know there's a question on friendship. Oh, and I love the introverted question I want to get to. My introvert friends were great during my season, and I truly believe God can use no matter what your personality is to use you. In terms of friendship and Christian friendships, I think this is a season where Christians, we have hope. Our hope is sometimes unseen, but we have hope. And I think for non-believers, you know, when they found out my story, they didn't really have much to say. Besides, like, I'm so sorry this happened to you. But believers, while they may also have said, I'm so sorry this happened to you, believers were able to comfort me by just being there, by, I think, pointing me to scripture. I remember working out, and, you know, working out was also a great avenue for me to, and I highly recommend it if you are depressed, or not even depressed, it's part of life, like, to work out, like, we need to exercise our muscles, but during that time, like, just being able to share my feelings, and my friends that were listening were then saying, okay, I recognize your feelings, Andora, let me go to scripture and point you to scripture, and maybe you should memorize this passage, and then those passages being a great source of comfort and encouragement for me. And this is why, actually, if you come up to TURF and you happen to join my community group, you're going to be memorizing scripture with me, because I think that is something that I need to work on. Because sometimes those passages, you don't know how God is going to use it. And I just memorized, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joy and of marrow, discerning the hearts, the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And if that is true, you know, in that you just read James, you know, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. I have to believe that this scripture is so powerful. It can resurrect life. It can resurrect my dead heart. It can resurrect whatever I'm feeling. And sometimes, you know, I think a question I got a lot too is, can you have joy and sorrow together? Like, what does that mean? And why is my, like, baking handle persevering joy? Okay. I do believe you can have joy and sorrow. Like, it doesn't have to be like, when I'm going through sorrow, that I can't have joy in God. I think those two can coexist together, and that's a quote from Tim Challies as well. Like, I can fully believe that Jesus is the greatest hope, my salvation, but still be like, God, it's hard. God, why have you forsaken me? I know you have not, because your word says I will never leave you or forsake you. And that's where you have to kind of, like, dissect or kind of wrestle through your feelings of, I'm sad right now, God. I'm sad, but I'm going to tell you why I'm sad. And there's a biblical language for that. There's another book I want to highlight, and I highly recommend. It's called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. There is a biblical thing called lament, where you can complain to God, but bring everything to God. And that's actually in Psalms, in Proverbs. You know, maybe even Jesus lamented a little. And so I highly recommend this too, because it's called Discovering the Grace of Lament. And I think it's a neglected practice, because we may think like, oh, I can't bring my feelings to God. But God already knows your heart. God knows everything that you're going through, every thought that you have, and he can sympathize with you. You know, he can sympathize with you as a great high priest.
Okay, so you kind of talked about this earlier. You talked about the church family a little bit in terms of, like, your friendships. Can you, like, share more about that? Like, how have those friendships that are Christ-centered, like, impacted you?
Mm-hmm. In so many ways. I don't think I would have survived without my church family. I have this group of friends, that I was already friends with them during COVID, but somehow after or during COVID, we got even closer, and we actually are like a family. And I would say that, I mean, they're one of the many families I'm a part of. I feel like I got adopted into many. And I adopt myself into many, but I think I think it's like knowing that you belong somewhere. Because I think maybe for people who don't want to be single, you're like, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. But are you really alone? Because I can tell you, you can be in a dating relationship or a marriage and you're lonely. And that's also from married couples. But I'm not gonna ask you guys that. But I know when I was in a relationship too before, I was lonely. And there were thoughts of like, oh, I should be single, you know? And then of course as a single person, you're like, oh, it's so much better to be married or to have someone with you. But that's not necessarily true. And so I think for the church family, they've really filled that role of like belonging, but also that I really belong. Like I know we can text each other and be like, hey, anybody want anything from Costco? And like, we're going to get it for you today. Or anybody want to come over and just play and just hang out? Like, I have that. And we may be in different seasons of life. Like, some of us may be single in that group, or some of us may be married with young kids, or, you know, just recently married. But all of us, no matter what season we're going through, we're all there to support each other. And I think in terms of the church family, too, what I've learned in my role is that as a single person, because I have spontaneity, or I can be spontaneous and I have flexibility, I could probably text my married friends and be like, hey, can I come over and hang out? Do you need help with babysitting today? And I know they need it. But I also know that I love their company, because I get to watch firsthand. Because if God still wills in that I'm going to be married one day, that's what I'm going to be going through in the future. I want to see how that actually works. It's not going to be like a novel. It's not going to be like a show or movie. I want to see in real life how that happens. And that's discipleship. And so I think, yeah, the church family has definitely been a great support in praying for me boldly, and sometimes just listening to me when I needed someone to talk to. But I think also, you didn't have to talk to me when I was going through that hard time. We didn't necessarily have to talk about my struggles. It didn't always have to be like that. I think I just wanted, because I was so used to going to my ex's family's house for like meals, I just wanted someone to eat with, and I wasn't like by myself eating by myself. Or I wanted someone to like do stuff with, you know, like to go to the movies with, to work out, watch K-dramas with, you know, watch anime with. So like just doing stuff together. And I don't think that has to stop once you get married. And I don't think that, you know, also when you're single, then you get to, you do get to still invest in other people's lives.
I'm glad you're in my life.
I know. Both of these people sitting next to me, I've gone to their houses a lot. So I feel like I enjoy it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Endora, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I think we really thought about Endora to kind of launch this series off for us, because she's gone through a lot, but also, like, just, I think, something I was hoping for you guys to see through her sharing was that God never left her and really, like, strengthened that faith. And to see, like, the fruit of the trials she had to go through and how it impacts, like, us.
I think I'm just so touched because, yeah.
Aaron's like laughing at her.
Aaron's like, we got it all.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I want to just say that God is worth it. I just came back from CrossCon, which is a missions conference. I'm sorry, I'm just going to comment. I just came back from a missions conference. I hope all of you guys get to go to CrossCon with us and Jerk when you get there. Because God is worth it. He's worthy of your praise. And sometimes you think to yourself, I know you guys are going through maybe some of your college jobs, or you're waiting to hear back from your schools. Whatever, you know, he longs for you to be holy. That's his greatest desire, for you to know him and to love him. And so in light of things, when you go through trials and sorrows in life, you may not know an answer why. Why do I have to go through this? I don't know why I have to go through that. But I can say this, I'm a better version of myself, and I know who God is. And he's better. He's given me himself. So even though I don't have a husband yet, God has given me himself, and that's my joy. I still pray for a husband, but but it's okay.
You know, it's okay. That's where the lament comes in. Okay, that's where the lament comes in. But I can find joy because God is with me. He's never left me or forsaken me. And he also has given you guys each other. Okay. Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Thanks for coming, Indora.
Yeah, no problem. Yes. Thank you, Indora.